answers. It's about that big picture. Where are you going? What's really important? Yeah. Is this really where you want to head? If you really want to head for the stratosphere, you don't start right down here. You've got to aim big at the beginning. Well, this feels like one of those slightly weird things when magazines do Christmas photo shoots back in July, because you're going to be listening to this after Christmas, but we are recording it before Christmas and talking about New Year-y things. So it's a bit weird, isn't it? It's a bit backward. How are you doing?
I'm good.
How was your Christmas?
I feel like I should be wearing a Christmas jumper. Oh, it was very quiet. How was yours?
It was very quiet, and we may or may not have had a family argument over a board game. Who knows?
Oh, I'm sure you will have. Well, this year, my family arguments won't have happened for once because we didn't get together. I'm going to stop pretending it's happened in the past. We're not getting together. So there won't be a family argument this year unless we Zoom each other specifically just to have an argument, which we could do.
Yeah. I'm sure we're quite capable of having one amongst the four of us. So we'll see how we go on that one. So anyway, this is a little surprise bonus kind of episode coming to you in your break and in our break. And we just thought, well, we can't keep away, can we, basically? We just thought... It would be nice to kind of, it's a final roundup. So we had a fantastic interview last time with Seth Godin, and I know that comments and messages, and it really got people thinking. But one of the important parts, we kind of did a review of looking backwards. And of course, you know, oh my goodness, are we all ready to look forward this year? So welcome to episode 101, how are we going to say once we're in the hundreds? So welcome to episode 101 of the Art Juice podcast, honest, generous and humorous conversations that will feed your creative soul and get you thinking. And I am Alice Sheridan.
And I'm Louise Fletcher.
So what have you been working on, or what are you working on at the moment in this end of year time?
Well, we're going to talk about planning. It's the main topic. So I'll talk about assessing, which I've just had a really interesting few days, actually, putting together. I felt like these paintings that I'm doing for my project are getting a bit out of hand. There's so many of them, I have no idea how many. So I sat down and catalogued them. I've been meaning to do this for ages and putting it off. But I made a spreadsheet. I put images for each painting in the spreadsheet. I put the size, what status they're at, what they're called if they have a title, what poem they belong to. It's really good exercise. And I discovered a few things. Number one, I finished 32 paintings this year. Didn't know it was that many. That's a lot more than I thought. But secondly, fascinating thing happened. I decided, as I was putting the images in, one of them I thought, not sure that's quite finished. So I put to review at the end, and then I put finished on the others. And then as I added them to the spreadsheet, I was really clear about finished, not sure that one's quite finished yet. And so there are about, I think I found 6 or 7. But what fascinated me was the snap judgment of seeing it that small and seeing it in conjunction with all the others in a list. I just knew. And in most cases, I knew what to do to finish it off. Oh, that just needs a bit more gray there. That just needs that shape taken out. But it was fascinating to me that I've had them on my wall, or in my studio for months and months now, thinking they were finished and putting them all together like that. I suppose it's the equivalent of, if you have a big space like you do, of putting everything out and seeing it at once, which even though I have a nice space, it's not big enough for that. So yeah, really good exercise. I recommend it to anybody if you're working on a big series and you feel like it's getting a bit away from you. I just used a Google, whatever they call them, sheets.
Yeah.
And you can actually insert an image into a cell, so you can have that whatever size you want. And just seeing them as very tiny little images is helpful as well.
It's really interesting, isn't it, how, this is why I'm fascinated with all this, how we do these things so differently. So you're doing the spreadsheet at that stage, and I know that might be because you've got to get things organized and put them, get them ready for the book and everything. By that stage, I tend to be totally analog, and I do that by drawing thumbnails, keeping them in my studio sketchbook. I kind of go totally in reverse. It's really interesting though how both work. So I do it by getting them all out, feeling whether they sit together. I like physically rearranging them in the room so I can see how they can sit as groups. And you get the outstanders, you get the ones that go kind of shyly, hands up, I'm not done yet. And you can see it.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah. Good. So that's, you've got a big mammoth spreadsheet now, which is going to be useful. That will, you'll be able to kind of use that for all sorts of things.
Yeah, well, it tells me, I know I need 80 to 100 images for the book.
Right.
So I want to finish 40 paintings, I think. And then the other images will be sketches and sections of close-ups and that kind of thing. So it gives me an idea that I'm getting enough. And now I'm working on the writing and I'm getting close to having enough of a rough draft, enough words in that. The difficulty of writing a book with art in it, of course, is you've got to match the number of words to the paintings. So the publisher told me that once we have a contract, then he will basically tell me, based on how many images you have, here's roughly how many words you can get into each section. And that'll give me a guideline when I'm editing. So it's different from just writing a normal book where you would just write the sections to be the length you want them to be. Here, you've got to kind of match and make sure you don't want an image over 5 pages later than what you were talking about. So,
although that often happens in art books.
I know. I don't like that. I don't like it when they say flick through to figure 67 and it's like miles away. I want to make sure, I want the experience of reading it to be integrated, that you're looking at what I'm talking about roughly about the same time. So that'll be just another interesting challenge.
And presumably, are you going to have work in progress, like images of you working and of the landscape and all of that kind of thing's got to be in there to contextualize it as well?
Yeah, I hope I will. I mean, the only challenge I've got there is quality of images. So the guy at the publishers has told me to send, like, for the work in progress images, to send him my images and we'll see how good they are. And maybe they have to be printed quite small on a page if they're not the higher quality, because obviously everything will be professionally photographed. Landscape images I've got plenty of, and I'm going to get a photographer out next year to take some pictures of me, which I'm just dreading.
So that's in your plan.
Yeah. So anyway, have you been up to?
I have been very definitely winding down, hibernating a little bit. We've had last print orders and Christmas deliveries and things like that to be doing for people. First ever print got damaged in the post. Looks like FedEx trod on it. So that's being redone and resent. So those kind of things going on. But thinking much more, which is what we're going to talk about mainly, about what I want my next year to look like. And specifically what I'm working on is a very kind of vague, amorphous idea for, I don't have a sexy name for it yet, but I think often about this idea of a creative loop where you have your starting point and you go out and explore. I always think about it like a daisy. So you're at the middle, like the center of the flower, and then you go out and you explore, and that is the petal. A line that takes you across outside, you explore, you gather, you bring new things, and then you come back to you at the end of it. And you do that on repeat, and eventually you get a flower. So that sense of being more conscious about what it is I want to explore in my work, I really want next year to have more time for developing my work, because I think this year there have been times where it's taken a sidestep. Some of that has been a deliberate choice to slow down and not push myself towards events, which is kind of what happened previously. But I'm thinking more that I'm quite excited about doing that in a more deliberate way. And the only thing I have to decide is whether I do that totally on my own or whether I bring other people into it too. So I'm just working out if there's a way of doing that, or even if I should do that. But we'll see where we go. But yeah,
it's a different thing, isn't it? It's a different thing. Doing it by yourself is totally for you. Doing it with other people can be, I find when I demo during my course, sometimes it leads to new work. So sometimes the sharing with other people actually brings something to it that I wouldn't get if I did it on my own.
I think there can be a kind of communal energy that can be really useful.
And it you
can,
like working with other people.
I do like working with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I have found in the last few months, this time to really just be on my own has like ignited everything and, you know, got me really going. But we know that we're different in that sense. I'm very much of a soul person. I like to work on my own and you like to be with other people. So,
but I think that's one of the considerations that I have to be careful of, that it's not about whatever I'm doing in my work, other people doing the same. That's one of the things that I've got to try to figure out, whether this is something that everybody can, or some people can join in on if they're ready to be quite self-directed in it and they're ready to be pushed and they're ready to learn. And it's not going to be me teaching people how to do abstract landscapes, because I don't even think that's what it is that I'm going to be doing. So I think it could be quite exciting and quite different, but I have no idea yet what kind of container or structure or anything it looks like, but we'll see. It will develop. That's what the next month is about. All right, so moving gently into kind of the main topic, vague topic this week. We're just talking about looking forward into the next year. What's coming up? What do you hope for? What are you going to commit to? What ideas are floating around? And we would also like to let you know, we've had a lot of questions since last time. And last year we did run this as an event with chats with us and talking, but a lot of people have asked for the PDF of the best art year ever. So we are making that available to you. You can go to both of our websites, louisefletcherart.com or alicesheridan.com, and look for the notes on this podcast, episode 101, and there will be a link there where you can download this PDF of your best art year ever. And this is a simplified version of the more extensive process that I do, but this is the one that we did with people last year, and we know that a lot of people have used it as a guide for over this year. So that is available to you. Go and find that and use that in this time between Christmas and New Year to help you work out what's important and what you want to develop. So as you have been starting to do this, and like I say, this takes a while for me, what so far has come up for you as thoughts or ideas that you want to take forward?
Do you know, somebody said something to me after the Seth Godin last week. Well, it wasn't last week, was it? It was 2 weeks ago when you listened to this, or 3 weeks ago. Somebody said, the sky's the limit for you two now. You can do this, you can do anything. And it was just a passing comment, but it really made me reflect on, when it comes to planning, do we limit ourselves by our beliefs about what's possible for us? And I definitely see this with other people when I see what they plan for themselves, say people in my membership group, and I don't mean everyone, but you occasionally see it with someone where you can see they could do so much more than they're imagining they could.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in this idea of how much what we set for ourselves then dictates what happens. So if I believe it's a stretch to get a guest like Seth Godin, let's just stick with that example. So then I ask Seth Godin and he says yes. What if I could have got, I don't know, Michelle Obama? No, I don't think we could have got me, but who knows? Like, what if I could have? I have set that limit on myself that I wouldn't even ask Michelle Obama because that's ridiculous. But I just wonder, I think for the next year, I'd like to think of the goal and then push it further.
Okay.
And make it a bigger goal, or a bigger, even not goal, a bigger idea than perhaps I'm allowing myself to think is possible. Because I do think we might limit ourselves.
I think that's a great question, and it's one that I tend to forget about, but I think it's always really useful. What limits am I placing on myself on this? And sometimes we do that because it feels safer, because if you don't have any limits, like if there's no limits and there's no boundaries and the world really is your oyster, then you can do anything. So how do you even know where to begin? You know, it's a bit like making art, making a painting. You know, if you can do anything you want, you've got to have some boundaries and limits in place, because otherwise you get stuck in this point of total indecision about it. But I think that perhaps is a different thing from holding yourself back. And I think we've both experienced that actually often what happens really good, really well, is the point where things happen that you haven't planned for it. Like, you just have this spark, this nudge, this urge to do something. You just, what the heck, I'm going to just do it anyway. I mean, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, with just this idea of like rolling a rock down a hill, and then before you know it, it's gathering momentum and it's off. So it's an interesting balance for me. I do like to plan. I like to have a sense of where I'm going, but I think you definitely have to leave space for that flashes of inspiration and decision and just like going for something too. But
so as I looked at these houses online, no matter how high I pushed the price up on the, even beyond what I could afford, I couldn't find anything I wanted. And then I like widened the area, or what about if I went there? No, still can't find anything I like better than what I have now. And so it made me think about, okay, so if that's an area where I'm happy with what I've got, clearly. Mm. Like, I don't need to do anything else. But what if I could get all of my life to be, if I could have whatever I wanted? I know it's not money. I don't really care about money beyond the point of being financially secure. But what is it? What would it be? And then thinking of it that way, rather than thinking, what do I think is possible for me? Right, let me set my goals within that. What would I love? And then maybe set my goals within that. And that's a difficult question, because I honestly fairly content, and I'm not sure that I know, but I'm going to think about it and hope maybe by the time this goes out, I have thought about it and come up with an answer. Who knows?
But I think that the whole point about that is that's kind of really what I think life is about, isn't it? I mean, we know when we've got it wrong, put it that way. We know when something's wrong. And that gives you a clear signpost. So if there isn't anything that's desperately pushing you, maybe that means that, you know, you're getting closer to that all of the time. But I do, I think you're right to say, I think we're right to question it every now and again, because I think we do fall into habits. Habits can be great. They can be helpful, they can be reassuring, but if we're not careful, they can keep us stuck just doing the same thing over and over. So I mean, that's why I think this time of year is fantastic. It is a time to reflect and to renew and just think, well, actually, is that going the way I want it to? And if not, why not? And what is it that I should be stretching for or saying yes to, or equally saying no to and letting go of? I think that's just as much part of it. And just always double checking, you know, where are you putting your limits? I know I'm still putting limits. I think we all do. I'm not sure if you ever get past that, putting limits on things.
I think one of the things I really have to thank you for is this focus on reviewing and planning, which I've picked up from you over the last few years, because you shared that in Connected Artists several years ago, and I started to do it thinking, I honestly thought, I won't stick to this. It'll slip away. But I have religiously stuck to it. I was telling my group that when they asked me, I don't know how you get so much done, this is how.
Yeah.
This is how, because I have an overall focus. I know what I want to get done in the year. I might change the strategies of how I do that. So I might think I want to have an exhibition in my paintings and then decide it's going to be a book, or I might think I want to do a course and then decide to put that stuff in my membership instead. But I have an overarching mission of what I'm trying to achieve and some big plans that I know when another idea comes along, no,
exactly.
I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And also breaking it out, what I learned from your system of planning, and I've kind of morphed into my own way of doing it now, but it's breaking out those big ideas into then the smaller steps so they feel manageable. And I see this all the time in my group. There are some people who want to do a website, and I was talking to them this week about, okay, but don't think of it like, I want to make a website, but that seems huge. I don't even know anything about websites. Because then you never do it. Break it into, well, what would be the steps needed? And then it starts to feel more manageable. And to that end, you were laughing when I typed it in the notes, but I'm figuring out Trello. This has been a mental block for me. I could not work out how to use this thing.
Who's going to tell people what Trello is?
I couldn't even. Yeah, you tell people what Trello is.
Trello is an online organization system. And I like it because I like it for a number of reasons. I like it because it's quite visual. So you put things in lists and cards. So it's a little bit like a pin board. So imagine Pinterest, but instead of just being images, each card can be a list of, you can have checklists, you can move things around from board to board or from list to list. So it's quite flexible, but you can break things down exactly as you want. I really like it because it works really well on your computer and on your phone app. So if you get an extra idea for something, you can just kind of put it in there and then organize it later when you're sitting down ready to organize it. It's not just like a to-do list app. For me, it's a very useful reference resource where I keep ideas, where I keep things that I might want to go back to time and time again. Often when things get into much bigger projects, I don't use it so much. And that's something I probably would like to do a little bit more this year. For me, it has a very middle of the road place in my system. I like starting off writing things by hand. And then when it gets really specific, then I kind of have to take things into Google spreadsheets and things like that. But for that middle documentation stage or tasks that you do again, for example, I have lists of things to do before a show. It's all in Trello. I have lists because then you don't have to waste your time rewriting it every time. You just go to your Trello list and there's your checklist.
Yeah, and the way I'm finding it helpful at the moment is I've got all sorts of ideas for my membership next year. Mm-hmm. I really want to make this amazing. We already have a lot of great content, but I want to make it by the end of the year. Like, you'd be a fool if you were not a member of this website because there's so much there. And so just a place to dump all my ideas in a mm-hmm. visual list that I can see them. And somehow, again, it's a bit like my painting spreadsheet. When I can see them laid out like that, I can see which ones are weak,
yeah,
which ones are stronger. And yeah. I can choose, like, as I get them all down, choose 12 big ideas and make each month, that's what I'm going to focus on. And then till we have 12 brand new sections that are really full of interesting information. And it's helping me to see. So then I made a list of guests I would like to have in an ideal world. Michelle Obama's not on there yet, but she might be one day. And then I can see where they match. Oh, look, I've got an idea for a month about drawing. That person might be a good guest to come in for that month if I could get them, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely using it much more loosely than I would imagine you. I won't have workflows or checklists or any of that. But it is, that's what I like about it. It's very flexible for however you are as a planner.
It's a little bit like post-it notes because you can move things around. That's sometimes the issue that I find with doing things in a journal sketchbook. Once you've written it, unless you're writing everything with pencil and rubbing it out and moving it. And, you know, although I say I like planning, I like things need to move. Like, that's what this year has shown us more than ever. You need to be able to adjust and shift things. And Trello lets you do that. Anyway, that's funny. I like that you're using Trello.
I'm trying. I am trying. It took me the longest time because I didn't have an objection to it. I just couldn't understand it. And every time I tried to make a card, I seemed to lose them again. And a card is basically a task within or an item within Trello, and then you can add to it. So it is like having index cards really online. But yeah, I kept losing them. But anyway, I seem to have got the hang of it, and I seem to be not deleting them by accident.
But you bring up an interesting point in that, which I think we as creatives also suffer from. And looking at my year next year, you know, here I am again, way too many ideas to fit in, as usual. And that's also another reason I like Trello, because you can have a Sunday maybe list. So you can have a place where you put these ideas, and then, you know, when you're short of ideas, when does that happen? You can go to it when you've got a gap. But this idea of like pruning your projects and really being clear on, well, your intention, but also you use the word mission which I think is a really good word because it's quite general. It's quite decisive, but it's like you've got to be clear about what's important to you and where you're going and why you're doing it. That's what a mission is. So then you can use that to cross-check all your ideas against, like, is this actually going to help me? And yeah. We have all sorts of different reasons for doing something. So you might have financial reasons for doing something. There might be reasons that suit your kind of creative soul. There might be reasons that you just want to do because you think it would be fun. And all of those are fine. So if you've got your reasons at the beginning of the year are, you know, financial, creative, fun, time for the family, all of those things, you use those then to look at your projects and think, well, actually, which of those is actually going to fit in with all of those? And then the ones that don't, they wait. They go in your someday maybe list.
Yeah.
Jigsaw them all gently into a way that's going to work for you. I've been trying to split things between this idea because what I tend to do is get things which overlap too much. So I might have an art fair and then I realize that it's, you know, the weekend after Easter or, you know, something like that, like the timing's not very good. Or I know that I was planning a retreat thing and it was clashing with Amy's exam. So we're trying to work out that kind of thing. So having a system where I can look and see not just the pinpoint of the event, but what I need to be doing in the run up to it. So I'm trying to look at my projects between create, so what I have to do, what I want to make, promote, and get those kind of promotional elements spread a little bit over the year. So that might tie in, obviously, if you've been creating a new body of work, then you've got an event, you need to be promoting that event at that time of year, whether it's a virtual open studio or whatever it is. Later in the year, there might be, I want to focus promoting prints, for example, but I don't want the two things to be happening at the same time. Deliver, so that for me is things like, you know, the membership and other things that I want to be doing in that sort of sense. But also it comes into practical artwork as well. You know, if you've had an event and you've been promoting it, you've then got to spend the next week wrapping and shipping things, you know, so that's the kind of delivery option that also takes up time. Then I've got a section for explore, things that I just want to think about or delve into with no expectations. And that, now this is a big win for me, I've got a section called outsource.
Yay!
Which at one point of time would really have just been, it's like, where can you get help? Like, you don't have to do it all yourself. So for me, the biggest thing that I remember that being early on was things like framing, getting somebody else doing the framing. So yeah, I haven't got a series of sexy words that spell out with initials, a new word, but create, promote, deliver, explore, or outsource. That's how I'm working so that I don't get so many overlaps. We'll see if it works.
That's interesting. Again, we're so different. I couldn't even begin to think that way.
Well, it's taken me years. I think the thing is, it's taken me a long time to, and it's almost like this year I've realized that I've got those overlaps that has made me get to the point where I've got to start thinking about things this way. And not everybody will be at that stage. You've got to work out a way that's right for you, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm thinking about, like, I've got the book and I know that's going to on and off be a six months of the year is going to be working on either promoting or making that. And then I've got my course, which will come up in late summer, autumn. And so then if I know I've got those two big things, I know I want to redo my website. So that's three big things because it is a big thing because it takes me ages to work out the code to do what I want or to get my theme to do. So then I've got to really think about, and then I've got my membership, which is an ongoing commitment.
Yep.
So
that's your year then. That's full.
That's full because this year was perfect. I had the perfect balance of teaching and painting. I had plenty of time to develop my work. And I had the membership. The only thing I didn't have is the book. So the book's a little added thing on top. But a lot of the work for that will be with the publisher rather than me. So I'm hoping to keep that same balance. So I don't think I'm going to be introducing any big new thing. I think what I want to work on this year, I know I want to do differently, is more, now that I have a large audience, I'm not particularly interested in making it larger and larger and larger for my course. Mm-hmm. I'm more interested in engaging more and more and more with the people that I found. And so I think for me, that's going to mean a shift from Facebook advertising to YouTube videos, not advertising, but I think I'm going to, between the podcast and YouTube, use those opportunities to engage and really build relationships with people. I'm finding, I don't know, this is something for everybody to look at in their own stats, but I'm finding, even on initial analysis, that my newsletter is less effective than it was 2 years ago. And I know it's still just as good, but it just, people are not opening email in the same, to the same degree already 2 years later. So if they're not going to do that, I want to make sure I'm finding another way to compensate for that in the building of relationships. And for me, I've decided that YouTube's going to be that. So that's got to go in my planner now. So I've got to decide, where am I going to make the time? It doesn't take a lot of time to make a short YouTube video talking about something, but it needs to be fitted in to the overall plan.
And it needs to be in line with your overall mission and what it is that you want to do.
Exactly.
And want to share. Yeah. I think for both of us, the difficulty is with, you know, what we do in our involvement with other artists and what we do always with our own work and finding that kind of part of your audience. And I certainly think for me, that's where I want a little bit of direction to go back to, is my work and how that fits into it. Part of that might be a little bit fear-led. I'm a little bit worried that my studio space might be gone in September. I'm a bit worried that they're going to put the rents up massively and I can't afford it. So I want to make the most of that big space while I've still got it.
Yeah. But
I shouldn't have said that out loud because that was a mistake. I'm assuming that they will continue in the same way that it has done and I will be able to stay.
You need to manifest that.
I do. It just comes back to readjustment then, doesn't it? Just comes back to checking in, readjustment, keeping your eyes on your own track, learning from other people, but not being led by what other people are doing. And I think, like I said earlier, you know when you've got it wrong and you need to do a little bit of course correction. But hopefully over time, over years, you know, you develop your own way of doing it and it just gets closer and closer and closer all the time. And that's the good thing about it. Good. Well, as you are listening to this, I will be deep in all of this planning. I do love this. I love this time of year for this.
I do too.
It's a break. The evenings get dark. Sorry, all you guys in Australia and New Zealand, but maybe you can do it on the sunbed instead. But you know, where we are, evenings, it's perfect, perfect. Little bit of time, spread it out. That's the other thing. I don't do it in a single day. I do it over a long period because you let it percolate in your mind. Things come up, things that seem a really good idea. And then 3 days later, you think, actually, that doesn't really fit. Let it go.
Yeah.
That whole process is really interesting too.
I think the part I really like about it, and this might go back to my business background, but I like at the end of it coming up with a series of metrics that I'm going to measure so that are going to tell me if I'm on track. So let's say I'm making, developing my work into a priority. My metric might be the amount of time I spend in the studio. It might not be finishing paintings because I might not be concerned about finishing paintings, but it might be studio time. If I'm going to release a new course, it might be the success I have in getting people signed up for that. It might be like this year I'll be measuring YouTube and spending less time worrying about Facebook. Just because I've made that decision, it doesn't make it the right one. It's just what I've decided. But then that's my metric. And I like having those things to keep me on track, again, because it stops me getting distracted with a shiny object of something else over here. No, I know I'm supposed to be making a video every week and I'm supposed to be promoting it here and here. Let me make sure I do that.
And also, you know now that these things take time. So, you know, when you're looking at those metrics, you're looking at YouTube, it's going to start in a certain place with the aim that by the end of the year, it's in a different place. And you'll know, and if you keep your eye on that, then you can adjust accordingly. You can test new things out, or you can try frequency, or you can maybe realize that actually, you know, I mean, we do it a little bit with the podcast. You know, sometimes we go, actually, look, it bombed a bit this week.
Yeah.
And then we don't pay any attention in future as to what we call them and rename them so they might be more attractive. We're not very good at that. We just turn up and do it. But we should do.
The YouTube thing brings up an important point, as you've mentioned as well. So one decision I've made about that, when you have a bigger goal, so I've decided my goal is to build engagement with the people who've already heard of me or anyone who might discover me. So knowing the bigger goal changes what you do. So with YouTube, if I know my goal is to be more engaging and to get people to engage with the videos more, I need to think about the content. I need to think about SEO of the way I present them on YouTube. And I need to think, and I think I'm going to turn the ads off them because that's just annoying when you're watching videos on YouTube. And what am I doing that for? To make a few hundred dollars a year? It's just stupid. So it's that kind of thing. Once you've got the overarching idea in mind of why you're doing something, going back to the mission, then it can make decisions about how to go about it. It's like painting, isn't it? When we know what we're trying to express, then we know what colors to use or what marks to use. But when we start off with no idea and we never develop an idea as the painting goes on, it keeps being a lost painting.
Yeah. And I think you're right. The other thing that's coming out of this is to be selective about what it is that you choose. It's very difficult to do lots of things all of the time. But if you kind of say this is going to be the year of YouTube, then you know what it is that you're doing. It kind of simplifies things for you a little bit. Fantastic. Good. It's going to be fun. See where we are this time next year. Right, so out of all of that then, what thing have you got to bring to our What's Inspired?
Well, what inspired me, as it inspired many people, was the conversation we had with Seth Godin. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it I only got from watching it back because I was so busy concentrating and trying to understand what he was saying and trying to remember to ask the next question while we were talking, that when I watched it back, I got a lot more out of it and I understood the answers to my question about choose your audience, which had bamboozled me before and now makes a lot of sense. And it kind of reinforced for me something that I'd been feeling from the beginning of starting getting serious about my painting, which is this idea I've said before that I always thought I don't want to be relying on my painting for my income, because I want to push it further than I think you can do if you want to regularly sell. And so I was really interested in his perspective on how difficult it is to balance commerce and art, and not that you can't do that, but that it's like a knife edge you're constantly walking. And I think in the next few years, once this project that I'm working on now is over, I think that's where I'm putting limits maybe on myself mentally. I'd like to break outside of any limits that I have. And I don't fool myself that I'm going to do something completely original and unique and start a whole new art movement or anything. But I just want to push my work a lot further. And if I'm going to do that, I don't want to be thinking about an upcoming art fair or an upcoming open studios. And I realize that's not the way most people do it. But I'm okay with it. It's what I always felt. And now that conversation kind of inspired me to go back to feeling that way again. Not that I want to do my art as a hobby, not that I don't want people to sell it, not that I don't want to show it, but that I don't want commerce to be the driving element of it. And with my teaching side of things, I'm now in a position that I can do that. And so it's going to guide some decisions that I make this year about how much, you know, what I want to do with my work.
Do you think that that would push you towards doing something like doing an MA?
I've thought about it, but it'd have to be an MA in painting. because I have
zero
interest in printmaking or making pots, or I just don't, I want to paint.
Or maybe you just haven't discovered that. Yeah.
I know people say that, but no. I started years ago one of those OCA degrees.
Yeah.
When I first came back from America.
Yeah, that's not the same.
No, but it's the same in the sense that they push you to do all sorts of different things. And I kept saying, I know what I want. I don't want to do this. And they, yeah, but it's important for you to experience. And I think it is when you're 18, because you got all the time in the world, but I haven't got all the time in the world. And I know what I want to get really, really, really good at. And it's not any of those other things. So a bit like when you talk about knowing that you had to stop printmaking for a while because you needed, I know what I need to focus on. So possibly, but I don't know. I'm not a real follower of education system. So I'm not sure that that's it for me. I'm not sure a big academic program. I just think, we'll see. I don't know. Who knows? We see I'm putting limits on it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
It was good. I think the pick your audience, pick your work. It's a little bit like what we've been talking about today, though, isn't it? It's about this getting this mission and the bigger view of where you're going and what you want and what's really important to you.
Yeah.
That was it. Because I think if you get too bogged into the pick your audience thing, then it starts to get a little bit too specific and then it becomes boundary defining. And I don't think that actually helps. It's about that big picture. Where are you going? What's really important? Yeah. Is this really where you want to head? If you really want to head for the stratosphere, you don't start right down here. You've got to aim big at the beginning.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was good. So I think for me, really, just this whole section, and like you say, you know, I've been doing this a while now, coming back year after year after year. And, you know, what I noticed by looking back is how fascinating, and it is inspirational, how we can do so much more than we expect of ourselves when we're prepared to keep following those breadcrumb trails, asking the tough questions, putting the hours in, doing things that make you feel comfortable, reaching out for help, getting involved with other people. None of those things are easy. Like, if we want an easy life, we can have an easy life. Having an easy life is easy. Mm. But that's not going to be gratifying and exciting and challenging, and you're not going to be learning and exploring and understanding new things about yourself and meeting new people and, you know, all of those things that make life exciting and fun, and who knows where it's going to lead at the end of it. So I think for me, just it just reiterates every year the importance of having this long-term vision and just trusting the entire process of organic change and development, and just letting it shift, do all the things that we've talked about today, check where you're putting your limits on. But I know a lot of people, when they do this thing, they think of, like, you know, what's your 3-year goal? What's your 5-year goal? That was one of the things that I dropped, actually, from doing this early on. It was one of the things that was in very early prompts, was part of it. And I just thought, I have no idea what I want to be doing in 10 years' time, really. And it's a difficult thing to square up with this long-term mission. But I don't think you can be too specific. I mean, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, where do you think you'll be today, would I have said here with everything? No, because I had no anticipation or understanding of how I would even start to do that. It's only happened by doing this, you know, organic step change every time. And I just think it's not only is it really important, not only do I think it gets you results, but I think it's just much easier. It's just much easier to go from where you are. Just look at the next 3, 6 months, year. That's plenty. That's plenty for my little brain to cope with anyway.
Yeah. But with having that longer, that big picture, what you want for your work or your life, generally in a mission sense.
Yeah.
And then tackling it year by year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a challenge, but it's fun. Right. Are we back to the mince pies then? Will you be eating mince pies?
Oh, I think the getting healthy is going to have to be one of my big goals for the next year. So I might have to put down the mince pies now. I don't even really like mince pies, and I always get tempted to eat one or two.
No. My early Christmas present to myself was two martini glasses. So we're working our way through, not every day, I hasten to add, different cocktails.
I've never made my own cocktail, ever.
Well, I've made martinis before, but I don't know what a dirty martini is. Anyway, it's slightly salty with the olive and a bit of the olive brine in. I quite like that. Paul said no, he likes cosmopolitan, slightly sweeter. So we'll see where we've got to by this time.
I might have finished the bottle of Bailey's by now,
and that will keep us going. So happy new year, everybody, if you are listening to this as it comes out. We hope that you have had a lovely break over Christmas, time with people around you, time to do the things that you want. This year is a very different year for Christmas, and I think time to relax, time to chill, time to do the things you want, time to reset, rebalance.
Time to make those big plans for next year.
And we'll see you in 2021. Bye-bye.
Bye. Why does Santa have three gardens?
I don't know.
So he can ho, ho, ho.
Oh. I see football stadiums empty. I see shops closed. I see art fairs not happening. And the man goes, that's perfect. You've got 20/20 vision.
That's awful.
Sorry.
God knows what's going to happen next year. That's when the pestilence and the...
Don't say that out loud either.